lesson learned. I don't talk to cops anymore. You dumb. I slap myself. I should do a couple of years for being stupid. You know, I don't know how. What did she do? Like 9 months or something? I don't know how long she did. It wasn't like forever, but she had to, you know, spend time in the, you know, playing tennis or something. I don't know what she was doing, but this is so. The future is what? I mean, you, all these books that you've written. We got a big, giant, long list of James, and it's been on the government at the highest levels, and it is. You know, attention deficit democracy. What was your theme in that one? What were you trying to share? That had a big impact on a lot of people.
Well, with attention deficit democracy, I was trying to show that the government is far more out of control than people realize. There's multiple problems. One is that most voters are ignorant of the basics about how government works. Most congressmen are ignorant of most of the laws which they pass. They don't even bother reading them. Most federal judges don't care much about the Constitution, and most federal agencies do as they damn well please, and most presidents love power. So, I mean, it's a very toxic combination for the survival of liberty.
What's your opinion of, we're over halfway in the Trump administration, doing something good, oh my God, we'd better off with Hillary, what?
No, I don't think we'd be better off with Hillary. I mean, there's a lot of reasons to vigorously, you know, harshly criticize Trump, and I've done that on Twitter in some articles and on elsewhere. Hillary would have been worse, I think. Trump has, you know, done a few good things. It's great he wants to pull out of Syria. It's great. We might be pulling out and ending the nonsense in Afghanistan, you know, but to have people like John Bolton around, who's just like, you know, just kind of, you know, salivating about going into Venezuela and putting a new kingpin in there. That's appalling. There's, you know, the fact that Trump has, it's part of the frustration with Trump is that so many of his opponents want even bigger government. I was down at the Women's March a couple weeks ago, did some photographs, and it was fascinating to see there was the vast majority of folks there would be very happy with some liberal, progressive Democrat president who sees twice as much power as Trump.
Well, no, they definitely wanted, you know, have the power to use and abuse. They just didn't want Trump to have it. They were like, damn, that didn't work out like we thought. But we'll get it next time. More with James Bovard when we come back. Stay right there.
On Free Talk.
Okay, this is what we're working on. I'll give you the quick version so that, you know, you'll know when we turn it on. Have you ever heard of IPFS servers? Does that ever mean anything to you?
A little bit.
Interplanetary file sharing or systems or whatever. Okay. Now, what it is that, imagine this. You have at your feet a server that's just, you know, it's a computer with a hard drive in it. You put a couple terabyte hard drive in there and you're good. You take and just save all your videos, your text, your articles, your whatever, and however you format it. There's a formatting, you know, that's what we're working on also, like we're formatting to put a headline into Freedom's Phoenix. So in the back end, like if you've ever used Freedom's Phoenix, you go in there and you put the headline and the body and the text and, you know, whatever, the picture and that kind of stuff. You do that and it saves it as a file into your server there. Well, IPFS is a network with other IPFS servers. You can sync up with anybody who requests that. It goes to the nearest geographic location of an IPFS server of the person that's requesting it. So if somebody requests it in Atlanta, okay, then, you know, boom, they're getting somewhere in Atlanta or close by or Birmingham or something, another IPFS server. Now, it caches it there for, I don't know, a week, two, a month or whatever, and then it just kind of goes away if nobody else does it. If it's popular, then it just starts propagating across, you know, the world, and that's how it scales up for speed and storage. So okay. It started from a seeding or called pinning of the article Forever and Always is Available on your server. It's just if it gets a lot of demand, it starts propagating out, and then that, you know, it gets a lot of usage and so on, and then over the months, and it kind of goes down. Now, what we wanted was to be able to seed it around the world. So we have, like, you know, James Corbett does his, and Luke Radowski, and Richard Grove from Tragedy and Hope, myself, and Taryn, and Derek, and blah, blah, blah. Got like five of these set. We're already up to three, four now, and then we'll have a few more and a few more. So what happens is us being able to save those files there, then goes there is a company that's working with us that wants to take that file, then they propagate it on all of the platforms. So it does, you know, the Facebook, the Twitter, the Minds, the Steam it, the this, the BitChute, the, you know, that kind of crap. So we're going, all right, so we're working with them to be able to do, plus they'll have their own IPFS server network, because they were thinking that you send it to them, they put it on their servers, they propagate it out, and you pay them the whatever. And I'm going, well, you're going to have a lot of server space that you're going to go, if you do this IPFS thing, you're pulling it from the people that got it, you're redistributing it, and then you offer a service that you have these other IPFS that will increase the speed, and then it just kind of not eating up all your server space, it just goes away, and we have the original file that then seed it when it, you know, like something popular picks up again. So they're going, this is, are you kidding me? This kind of, so they're working on it. And we're getting in the middle of this. What it allows for is there's never any deplatforming. And even if they do deplat, because everybody puts, like, your all your Twitters go up on a Twitter thing, all your Facebook goes up, all your video, all your art, all, and if they deplatform, it's gone. And these people, I can't believe their entire life is on Facebook. Then when they undo it, they go, well, they're gone. They just, like, disappeared from the internet. Or 60,000 videos on YouTube. Or I'm going, wow. Now, I have Freedom's Phoenix, so it's all there. You know, I never lose it. You know, but then, you know, you want to be able to, you know, have the service of platforming it out the other ones to, you know, replicate and all that kind of stuff. That's what we're building in anticipation of this. So anyway, something to think about. I'll let you know.
Yeah.
Here we go. LRN.fm to learn how.
Yeah, we're coming back.
LRN.fm.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
World needs now is, you know, how about some love? Let's do that one. I some evolution. I mean, so sick of the negative waves, man. But, you know, you got to highlight them so you can have the distinction or, you know, the comparison with good and bad. That's what James Bovard does. I mean, let me tell you how bad they are. But you always do it with a smile, and you got some positive spin on and kind of, and you have a good time at it. But how's your emotional state on this stuff, man?
Oh, shit. Well, hey, you know, you and Don are sitting down there in the warmth, and before the show, I was out shoveling snow, so...
I know. That sucks.
It's winter. You know, I guess I'm basically... I'm lucky I was born fairly optimistic with a kind of a positive mindset. It's something I've tried to preserve and nourish. And I always try to find a comic relief in some of these outrages. I mean, there's often little details that kind of can make people laugh at the same time they're mortified at how much power government sees. Take a step back or two. We were talking about the Women's March, and something which struck me about a lot of the signs, a lot of the activists there, it was most of those folks did not seem to be opposed to dictators. They only want different dictates. And that's the trouble with a lot of the Trump opposition. There are some good folks both on the left and among libertarians and a few conservatives who are saying, well, you know, it's important to rein in Trump in order to, you know, put a limit on federal power, so on and so forth. So much of the opposition is upset because he hasn't gone much further on the social justice warrior stuff, foreign interventions. I mean, Trump at least said some good ideas on Syria, and most of the Washington press corps and the pundits and the poobahs went nuts. Oh, that's terrible. We can't abandon these people, you know, because we've got to make sure it's just free.
Ridiculous. But now he wants to go, let's go whip ass on Venezuela.
Well, that's John Bolton. Maybe it's Trump. I mean, it's idiocy. I'm absolutely opposed to that. I've I've smacked it around a little bit on Twitter. I haven't written at length on it. It's sad to see the U.S. meddling there. It's a very bad government. It's like maybe half the governments of the at least half the governments in the world that deserve to be overthrown.
It's a big opportunity for Russia to come in and do whatever the hell they're going to do, and the U.S. is going, no! You know, we should be rulers of and do and take advantage of, God dang it, damn Russians put a bomber there and stuff. So I don't care. Am I allowed not to care?
Yeah, it's a mess. We can't fix it. Let's get the hell out. It'd be a great novelty for the U.S. government to keep its hands clean. It doesn't happen very often, but it could happen.
Why Bolton? Why is he? What?
Oh shit!
Well, there in Washington or near, and I'm going. Well, you know, all right. How many miles are you from the Washington City limit?
Hey, Ernie, this is the same discussion we have every time.
How many miles?
Every time on the program, you talk about how you and Donna had the penthouse suite in the hotel up there in the 37th floor. So you had a view of the Washington Monument, something that I've never seen from my house, which is very low. So, you know, I don't know, 10, 12 miles. But John Bolton, I mean, it's just John Bolton is one of the worst picks that Trump has made. It would be great to see him get the heave-ho. He's someone who I actually interviewed back in 1985. He was dishing dirt on the chief of the Agency for International Development, and he was the one. He was telling me about he was no longer at the agency at that point, and he was talking about keeping a CYA file. And I was young and naive. I said, "Well, what's CYA?" And he said, "Cover your ass." I said, "Oh." So anyhow.
So what the hell is that? He's got like skeletons on people, and then you guess what? I get to be, secretary of whatever?
Don't know, but he was very helpful in that investigation. So, you know, haven't talked to him since.
Can't wait. But why select him? What is in the point I'm making is that you're in the area, okay? So
supposed to know. It's like in the water. Right?
Oh, you're killing me, man.
It's the same water supply, so therefore I can... Hey, Ernie, something which I try to do is not come across like a typical Washington asshole. And it's a typical thing. Well, as someone here in the general area of Washington, this is the inside scoop. I don't know shit on this.
Okay, well, this is... Okay, well, you know, granted. But, you know, the point that I'm making is you're closer than me.
Wait, what is the scuttlebutt
on Bolton?
All right, wait. That was a funny sequence. First I say, I don't know shit. You say, granted. And then you ask a follow-up. I mean...
No, I didn't mean that. I mean, granted, you're not, like, in the know in, you know, Washington circles of whatever.
I mean, you know, it's interesting. Trump has made some of his worst appointments in foreign policy, and Bolton is maybe the worst.
But why? What is the point? It's like, you know, he has Prinz Ribis, the former RNC chair, as chief of staff, and then he's gone. I can see, yeah, bring them all in so you can out them, and they're gone. And then you have, what's her name? What's the blonde woman that has the, you know, I hate Trump husband? PR person. What's her name, Donna? Conway. Okay. Kellyanne Conway.
Kellyanne Conway.
So then they tell, she's the leaker.
Nice,
you know, she's the leaker. And I'm going, but I don't care.
No. Well, okay, to take a step back, I don't know who's doing some of the appointments or who's choosing the thing. I think Trump is not Trump is not that well informed. But the same was true of Obama and George W. I mean, it's sad to say, but Bill Clinton was the last president who seemed to really have a fairly decent handle on his people and on what the government was doing. I mean, he was a bad president. He did a lot of.
No, I think Hillary helped with that.
Well, yeah, she was his savior. So,
well, tell me, that's the main question for me is that. Trump is making these types of appointments, which I know you pay attention to. You write on them all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going, what's the game plan? I don't get it. They're there to fire? Is there Bolton can be outed and forever and always and, you know, tiny hand Sessions or some shit like that? I mean, what's the plan?
I think that the Trump White House is kind of badly organized and slipshod. The current chief of staff seems like a lot better than what they've had before. Mick Mulvaney, if that's how it's pronounced. He's someone who has some good instincts. He was OMB chief before being the White House staff, and I was pleased to see his list of federal agencies he wanted to abolish. That was great. But you know, it's you're focusing on Bolton, but you know, Trump is also, I guess, bringing back Elliot Abrams, who was convicted of lying to Congress, and a lot of other crap.
Minimum job requirement.
Well, yeah, it's just some days I almost get cynical.
I'm trying to get a bead on the future. We have decades of you covering these people, writing books, regular articles. People know they can talk to you. This is there's an end game, is there or not? Or because what you're describing is our, you know, not even slow, but our march towards this unilateral hegemonic central command of we rule you and be damned down to the local community of your sheriff can suck it and we got hellfire missiles. So I this is, and things are going to get bad. Well, when we come back, that's one thing we'll talk about is news in the vicinity of the Washington, you know, what the news is on the economy and what they got plans for. What's the propaganda? Are we going to have another mushroom cloud? Is it, there's something coming, you know, and I would think James Bovard is right on the edge of it. From the third letter of Captain Mark. The Crown's observation conditions us to be dishonest with ourselves. Therefore, constant surveillance produces a society of constant deception. Honest communication is the seed of civilized conduct. To deny us this seed is to deny us its fruits. But the Crown's primary objective is to stifle free thought itself, to make its subjects incapable of dissent. Seasoned pirates have always encrypted messages and codes and ciphers, so intercepted transmissions were incomprehensible. But today the Crown possesses advanced tools of pattern recognition that document, profile, and predict our every move. Today, piracy requires hailing frequencies completely invisible to the Crown. We are tired of poltergeists in the static. Looking for a community of like-minded scoundrels, or just want some swag to let the Crown know what you think of it? Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com. Okay. Unless you got something else you want to talk about, that's really what I'm trying to get a bead from all this experience and writing that you've done over the past decades.
Okay, sure.
The future, because this economic thing has happened before. This expansion of power to the executive has happened before. The this theater between the House and the Senate and the Pelosi might as well be, Tip O'Neill or freaking Newt Gingrich. I mean, it's the same shit. And in the end, it keeps ratcheting up more we rule you stuff. And, I don't see any pullback on, sustainable we rule you crap. And, it just goes on and on and on. And I'm just seeing that there's going to be a break. It's probably going to be, the ability of the individual to just go, and I live in my tiny house on the freeway from rest stop, and you guys can suck it, and in my little power, whatever the hell, on the rooftop of Kiss My Butt. And this is, and of course, you're not allowed to do that. So I'm the Wayne's World empowerment down to the individual in their grandma's basement, for James Bovard to live in his Toyota this one guy, a perfect example. This one guy, he's a tech guy, and he's like, I just want to see, how cheaply I can live, survive, and, save money. So he buys a Model X, Gullwing Tesla, goes Uber, and sleeps in his car at night. So all he does is sleep and drive, make money, has no bills other than his car payment that he gets free charging for. Okay. So he's like, you know, has a channel that he does his thing. And I'm going, wow, that's, you know, interesting. And then there's, you know, varying degrees of that kind of opportunity. So that's going to be, yeah, you're not allowed, or at least you're on the grid, or you got a bank account. What happens when they go to things they called it Arcade City or Lazoo's? It was kind of a Uber, but it was blockchain based, and you know, nobody knew, and you got paid in crypto. And now they're doing